Okay, so when an important bill goes before Congress, the Congressional Budget Office provides an independent analysis of how much it would cost. When a bill goes before the state legislature in Massachusetts, not so much, at least until today. Tufts University is launching a new initiative today to provide what they say will be a CBO-like analysis for state legislation and ballot initiatives. It's called the Center for State Policy Analysis. It'll be led by Evan Horowitz, former data reporter for the Boston Globe and frequent Radio Boston contributor. Evan's with me here in Studio 3. Evan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Tiziana. You know, the first time I was ever on Radio Boston was a Friday Week in Review, and You were the other guest.
That's right. We were buddies.
Yes, you shepherded me through it. I'm forever grateful for that. So it's a pleasure to be back here with
you. It's really great to have us both here in these new capacities.
Yes.
Right? So tell me, in your new capacity, why do you think the work of this new center is important?
Well, you laid it out already. I mean, the state lacks this capacity that the federal government has. When you're working on a bill, you need to know exactly what the impact's going to be, not just on the budget, but on people throughout the state. And lawmakers here are overworked and understaffed for the most part, which leaves them without the time and resources they need to figure that out in lots of cases. So it would be nice to have an agency dedicated to providing that information, and we want to be that agency.
So what are you going to do first?
In terms of what bill are we going to tackle? So we're already working on two projects, one of them around TCI. Now, that's the multi-state carbon cap and trade thing. Think of it as a big kind of carbon tax effort that's been pushed by the governor and is getting some attention.
It's a transportation climate initiative.
Correct. So we're going to do an analysis of both of the impact on emissions that would come out of it, like what kind of reduction in emissions could you imagine, and also the impact on the state revenues and town by town. So that's one thing. We're also working on prescription drug costs and the trade-offs involved with trying to manage prescription drug cost increases statewide.
So I've seen you use some numbers that were produced by the Health Policy Commission in relation to the nurses' ballot question recently as an example for why this kind of work is necessary. But their numbers, the $900 million a year estimate on new nurse staffing ratios and what that would cost, certainly was criticized by advocates as flawed. So can you really come out with numbers that people on all sides are going to say, yeah, those are legitimate numbers, those are credible, and we all agree to use those as we deliberate on a ballot question or a bill?
What I love about the question is, nonpartisan numbers are, of course, going to be attacked by partisans. So whether a position is going to be attacked is not the right metric here. But just to go back to that particular example, it was a very contentious ballot initiative about nurse staffing ratios and how many nurses there should be per patient in various hospitals and whether that would be dictated by the state. And there were wildly divergent competing claims from the two sides and a felt need for some independent group to do an assessment and figure out where the truth lay. Now, the Health Policy Commission stepped up in that case and I think made a real difference with the numbers, not because they convinced everyone, but because they were a credible voice and people acknowledged. In fact, in some ways, they got more criticism because they were a credible voice doing credible research. And that undermines people who feel differently or think differently or were trying to push a different message. So I do think that example holds. And it's not that we're aiming to be an agency that everyone agrees with. It's that we're aiming to be an agency where people can't criticize the evidence being used to produce our reports. What we'll work with is the best evidence available, and we'll lay out where it comes from, what the limitations of it are, and exactly what we're doing with it.
So how is this center different than, say, the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center, which monitors state budget and, you know, topics like education? You used to work there.
Yeah.
How is this different?
I learned so much there. The real difference is a question of sort of agenda shaping and topics. The groups like Mass Budget or like Mass Taxpayers, they're very serious research outfits, but they're focused on a few topics where they want to drive the agenda. At Mass Budget, it tends to be kind of minimum wage issues, progressive tax policy. At Mass Taxpayers, it's kind of business tax climate, municipal finances, stuff like that. Whereas what we're doing is not agenda shaping. It's not, hey, we'd like the legislature. No, we don't want to. We're not saying the legislature, you should think about these things. You should think more about them. It's more like, what are you already thinking about? What are you already debating? We want to get you research on that very quickly because you're debating this in the next 6 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is, so that you can make better policy, not better in terms of outcomes, but technically better. Better where you're more aware of potential trade-offs, unforeseen consequences, research on what's worked in other states, things like that. That's half of it. The other half is, of course, the ballot initiatives where those groups don't really address ballot initiatives. In fact, there's no group in the state that systematically analyzes the impact of ballot initiatives. And that is a gaping hole because taking issues to the ballot has become a more important part of policymaking in Massachusetts, but around the country. So you get very consequential issues that are thrown at voters with a kind of yes or no checkbox and very little independent nonpartisan work that they can rely on to make decisions. So I think that's also kind of a gaping hole in the policy world.
All right. So you've met with staff from House Speaker Robert DeLeo's office, Senate President Karen Spilka's office. Talk about this work. Are you encountering resistance from anyone at the State House? Has this been embraced by people at the State House? What kind of reaction are you getting?
So no resistance. I think embrace would be strong because I haven't proved myself yet, right? The work we have to do, we launched today. We've undertaken some research projects, but we haven't published anything yet. So there's a kind of trust-building effort afoot. And the way to build the trust is to have these meetings, produce research, see what the benefits of having an agency like mine or center like mine do analysis on live legislative issues could be for legislators themselves and legislative staff. So I think, no, there hasn't been any resistance. And we're working towards, or I'm very actively working towards, the kind of embrace you ask about, where there's just a kind of mutual trust. But that takes time to build up.
Okay, we've got 30 seconds. Just briefly, how are you funded?
So we launched today. So it's a little premature to talk about all our funding. But the idea is as follows. We are going to rely on a diverse set of funding streams because if you're all, say, all back business-backed funding or all labor-backed funding, then obviously that calls into question the number.
Right.
So we're going to have a diverse set of funding streams. And we're going to share all of our funding streams, the information about them. There won't be any question about who is funding this operation. And that's because protecting and preserving the nonpartisan status of this group is so fundamental to its success. If that breaks down, we fail. And I don't want to fail. I want to succeed. So that means being forthright about where the funding is coming from and how we use our evidence and having a, you know, diverse set of influences in terms of intellectual supporters in the advisory council.
All right. That's Evan Horowitz, former Boston Globe data reporter, frequent Radio Boston contributor, and new head of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts. Thanks, Evan.
I missed this, Tiziana.
It's great to have you. And a quick note on news this afternoon. The online retailer Wayfair says it's laying off 550 employees, including 350 at its Boston headquarters. Through a spokeswoman, Chief Executive Niraj Shah declined an interview request to WBUR. The 550 jobs represent about 3% of the company's global workforce, a reckoning for the home and furniture retailer, which has not yet turned a profit. WBUR's Bostonomics team is following this as details emerge. You can visit WBUR.org for more. Meanwhile, stay with us. Coming up, should Boston eliminate rental broker fees? Tell us what you think. Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tiziana Dearing. This is Radio Boston.